Abortion services resumed in Wisconsin this week, and now Republican lawmakers at the state capitol are considering a slate of abortion-related bills as well. It's Wednesday, September 20th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Evan Casey will have a report on the Milwaukee mayor's proposed city budget for next year. And soon there will be no seals or sea lions at the Milwaukee County Zoo. We'll tell you why. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Public institutions and employees would be banned from providing abortions or advocating for abortions under a GOP proposal in the Wisconsin State Senate. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, that could include University of Wisconsin healthcare system and maybe even elected officials.
The proposal says that public employees can't provide, promote, or teach about abortions. That would mean that OBGYN residents at the UW School of Medicine couldn't receive training in abortion care. The university system has warned that the training program could lose its national accreditation under such a ban. And Wisconsin Senator Kelda Royce, a Madison Democrat, says it goes further.
It basically prohibits any public employee, state or local official, including me, as a state senator, from providing any information that could be construed to be a referral for abortion.
The bill's authors say they're protecting taxpayer dollars. They argue that public funds shouldn't support abortion. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin Democrats have rolled out a series of sweeping education-related bills that would phase out parental choice programs. The bills call for more transparency in the state's private voucher school program. They would also require property tax bills to include how much the program costs taxpayers. Will Flanders is the research director for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He says private schools should be governed differently than public schools.
We've seen in recent polling that school choice has broad public support. So to see these bills really seems out of step with public opinion. The thought of phasing out these programs across the state is something that a lot of folks would oppose.
The bills are currently being circulated for co-sponsorship, but even if they do get it, they're unlikely to pass in the Republican-led state legislature. Cavalier Johnson, the mayor in Milwaukee, presented the city's 2024 proposed budget to the Common Council this week. Evan Casey has more.
Milwaukee will receive around $205 million in new revenue from a bipartisan shared revenue deal. That was passed by state lawmakers earlier this year. That law also allowed the city to levy a 2% local sales tax. Mayor Johnson told the Common Council the influx of cash means he's presenting a much different budget than last year.
I'm not offering a budget that continues a spiral of declining services and growing desperation.
Rob Henkin is a president of Wisconsin Policy Forum. He says Milwaukee could still see future budget gaps in 2025 when pandemic relief funds expire.
It does appear that a sizable structural hole will reemerge as we look at the budget at this time next year.
The Common Council is expected to vote on the budget in November. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
$100 million, that's how much We Energies plans to spend on a distribution project to serve Microsoft's proposed data center in Mount Pleasant. And as Joe Schultz reports, that project might not even need approval by state regulators.
Earlier this month, We Energies told the Public Service Commission that it will be installing electric distribution facilities at the site initially meant for Foxconn. Typically, installation of each part of the project would require approval from regulators. But the utility says this one qualifies for an exemption, thanks to a law passed in 2017 to support Foxconn. Robert Coles is a Republican state senator who voted against the 2017 law.
We need to go in there and change the law. I mean, this was a mistake. I think most people would recognize that this is a mistake.
The Public Service Commission says it's still reviewing the utility's request for an exemption. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
If you want to see seals or sea lions at the Milwaukee County Zoo, you better get there before December 3rd. The zoo announced it's ending its partnership with Ocean Connections. That's the nonprofit that provides seal and sea lion programming. Two seals and two sea lions currently live in a saltwater pool that's 38 years old. The habitats require updates that would cost millions of dollars. Amos Morris is the zoo director. He says his priority is to take care of the animals, but also to do so on a tight budget, and the zoo can't afford the renovations that would be best for the seals and sea lions.
I can't have animals staying in facilities that don't meet modern zoological standards. It affects welfare and well-being.
Ocean Connection says it agrees that the welfare of the animals is the top priority. So to protect them, they're being moved to three sister facilities throughout the country. Morris, the zoo director, hopes to bring back the sea lions in the future. Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about finding home when you've grown up in multiple places. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about living between two worlds.
How do you define home if you've grown up in multiple places? It's a question Paul Lohr of Kimberly has grappled with for years. So he went to visit his first home for clarity. He shares his story as part of the Home Is Here project, which amplifies the voices of the growing number of Black, Asian, Native American, and Hispanic residents who call northeastern Wisconsin home.
What is it like to call one of the most secret places on earth home? In the 1970s, I lived there, and then I left. For much of the 1960s and 1970s, this place I called home was closed to the outside world. For the past 60 years or so, it was one of the most dangerous places in the world to visit. After 45 years away, I finally had the opportunity to return home. It's a home that's far, far away from Kimberly, Wisconsin, where my family now lives. It's a home somewhere in Central Laos. From an early age, the thought of one day returning home intrigued me, fascinated me, and motivated me. Back in November 2022, I was finally home. I made it to Vientiane, Laos. My main goal was to retrace the path that many Hmong, including my family, took in the 1970s to seek refuge in Thailand. From Vientiane, my wife, Maya, and I, along with our driver and his wife, headed to Longsan. Along the journey, we drove by a section of the Mekong River, where many Hmong, including my family, crossed to seek refuge in Thailand. This is where I lost my mother and one of my two sisters. Like many Hmong making this journey, my mother and sister drowned. We could not salvage their bodies to give them proper burials. I was about 5 or 6 years old. As we were departing the area, Maya whispered to me, "Any tears inside of you?" I, of course, had many unexplained emotions, but replied, "No, they dried up a long time ago." Our next stop was Mun Aw, the last village my family lived in before leaving for Thailand. Standing on the outskirts of Mun Aw, I saw the entire village. I can still visualize our hut. I felt so relieved to finally see a place that I thought I would never see again. The next day, we visited several remaining historical landmarks from the Secret War in Laos, which is a secret military operation by the United States to counter communism in Laos and Vietnam in the 1960s and 1970s. First, we stopped by Phu Biat, which is the tallest mountain in Laos. This is where my father was assassinated. This site was the last stronghold for the Hmong, who supported the United States and stayed behind after the United States had already left Southeast Asia in 1975. Visiting here makes the few wonderful memories I still have of my father even more meaningful. After a week visiting my Laos home, I returned to my Wisconsin home, enlightened, enriched, and fulfilled. I finally felt at peace. I finally come to embrace that my far, far away home in Laos is no longer my home. It's simply now a part of my past. Home is now Kimberly, Wisconsin.
Paul Lohr is the Associate Dean of the School of Education at UW-La Crosse. His story is part of the Home is Here project from the New News Lab, a local news collaboration in northeastern Wisconsin made up of six media organizations, including WPR and the Green Bay Press Gazette. More information can be found at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today were Bridget Bowden and Mallory Chang. You know where to find us, right here in your podcast feed. If you hit subscribe, we'll show up there every single weekday morning. Tell a friend about us. Spread the word. It always helps when you help grow the show a little bit. We appreciate it. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.